While living here, you became active in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And you became active in human rights,
mm-hmm.
equal education issues in our community.
Right.
What drew you into that? And tell us a little bit about that.
When I returned home, it was during the time that they were moving with all deliberate speed. And just nothing was taking place with respect to integration and desegregation. I started out, I was working on the fact that I knew what had happened with our high school with respect to the gymnasium and the swimming pool. The gymnasium was really too small. I thought that we should have a larger facility in order to accommodate the fans that go to Booker T. Washington's basketball games. So in 1966 or so, I went to the school board and told them we need a new field house. They were going to build a new field house, larger with a swimming pool. And at the last minute, they dropped the swimming pool because there was no place for the kids to have a swimming meet. They just had a teaching pool. So they built the new field house. That worked out good. And then I started working with the Target Area Action Group. The U.S. government came up with this Model Cities program. The Model Cities program had a requirement that you have citizens' participation. So for Tulsa's Model Cities program, we had a group called the Target Area Action Group. I became the president of the Target Area Action Group, and I think I was the president about three times. But during that time, Booker T. was still playing its games at Carver Stadium. Everybody else is playing in larger stadiums. They had a game with Memorial, and Memorial didn't want to come over to what we call the Snake Pit. That's the Carver Stadium, okay?
In 60...
In 67, 68, something. They had a pretty good team.
But they wouldn't come over here and play.
They didn't want to come. But I told Ed Lacy, hey, they are coming.
Ed Lacy was the athletic director.
He was the coach of Booker T. And the athletic director at Booker T also. So they're told, well, you all can forfeit the game. If you want to forfeit, that's fine. And we'll move on. But they decided to come and play. We had fans hanging from the rafters. They were all around the track. Both stands were full, both sides. And they were all around the track. Not one incident.
Would this have been one of the first white, black?
Oh, no. Oh, no. They had been coming over.
It was just a big deal with Memorial at the moment.
Right. Yeah, they decided that they didn't want to play on the north side. It's too dangerous.
Yeah, but they did come anyway.
Yeah, they came.
No incidents. And who won the game?
Booker T. Yeah. See, during that stretch, I coached the junior high team at Marian Anderson. I had players like Bo Tiger, and I had Reuben Gant, and I had John Winesberry. They all played on my basketball team. But you couldn't play unless you had good grades. When I was in junior high school, Art Williams was my coach. We had to get our teachers to sign an incidental card on Fridays in order for us to play the next week.
Proving that you had the grades.
Grades and attendance. And if you didn't, you did not play. So we learned early on that the most important thing was education. Yeah. Because Art Williams Sr. would not let you play unless you had good grades. And you could not have a mark on your card for attitude.
What about Reuben Gant? Did he always have good grades?
Oh, always. 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 Although I did prevent them from playing in a game because they hadn't turned in their work to Mrs. Hopkins. Reuben Gant, John Winesberry, Daniels, Clinton Ball, and another player. They just didn't get to play. And they thought they could entice me to let them play. No, when you turn your work in and it's satisfactory, you can play. Until that time, no.
You ever remind Reuben of that?
Anyway? Oh, yeah. And he laughs. He laughs. He told somebody this. He said, don't pay any attention to that smile Mr. Figgies has on his face because he gets pretty serious about education. But anyway, we got the stadium built out there at Booker T. See, the Tulsa Public Schools didn't pay for the stadium at Booker T. They didn't have any money, they said. So we went to Washington, D.C. and got the Model Cities people, got HUD, to approve the city of Tulsa using $600,000 of Model Cities money to build the stadium, predicated on the fact that the money from the concessions would fund the junior high athletic program. And I did it for years.
Did that work?
With the concession stand. We bought uniforms, balls, footballs, basketballs, track uniforms, whatever they needed, we bought it. We bought it from concession monies. That's why the government allowed us to build that stadium. Then the Tulsa Public School System tried to get some of the concession money, and I refused to give it to them. I said, this isn't a stadium that you built. This isn't a stadium that you even wanted, okay? And all of the money that's made in these concession stands will be used for the poor kids in this area. And that's what we did. I don't know whether they're giving them money now or not.
But that's the way it was set up. That was the way you got the money from the federal government.
That's exactly how we got it. And that's the only reason that the federal government let us build that stadium. It's because we convinced them that we could generate the monies for the junior high kids with those concession monies. We didn't build a stadium until in the 70s.
Tulsa Public Schools thinks they have some right to come over and ask for those concessions.
The 80s, they thought they could.
So they forgot history.
Oh, they always do.